Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
After the fifth, or a little bit during the fifth too, I felt like that feeling of like a cramp that's about to come. And so, you know, I talked to the pitching coach. I felt like going into the sixth, but and then the sixth inning, completely my legs completely cramped. So, you know, before, you know, it turns into a cramp in different areas of the body where all connects, you know, I think it was the right call to call it there.
I'm Shona Imanaga's translator. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Brody on a Mark Brody Wednesday this week. Yeah, the handoff ceremony is complete.
Okay. I don't think there was a ceremony, but I'm okay with that. It's done.
She threw a baton at you. It didn't hit you in the head.
Figure out the ceremony. Yeah, okay. We'll figure out a ceremony. I feel like that needs to be done. Okay, like, there's got to be some sort of, like, headphones and, like, a...
like a knighting process.
Yeah, or, like, a sash, I like that. You know?
Would you give me all your receipts? Like, you got this pocket full of
notebook.
Layla's receipts and stuff like
you
that.
You can check out the notebook.
Okay.
But you kind of have the same thing in your...
I do. You and I are kindred spirits. Well, I have this board here that I have. It's just a reference board. It's just the final score, the highlights of the game, just so it's easy to reference without having to say as much as I do.
But turn it around too.
So here is Cubs 9-0, Shota Imanaga, and then on the back, I got my Bears chart. I just like to keep my Bears chart handy with my notes on the draft and little things that I've learned along the way. So,
no, it's like a spotting board, like what you would use for play-by-play.
It's a spotting board. That's exactly what it is.
Do you update your Bears chart? Are you keeping that one for a while?
Oh, I change it a lot. This will be ripped off and changed soon. And it also just helps me to memorize the names and who they are and what it's all about, so it just flows eventually.
What paper is that, though? Where do you get that?
Yeah, so this is very... I shouldn't give this up, because these...
No, give it up. Share.
These particular poster boards that I use, there's only one place where I've been able to get them.
Oh, well, never mind. Don't give it up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's a popular drugstore, and there are two very popular drugstores in this city. One is CVS, and one is Walgreens. So you'll just have to guess which one it is.
I know which one it is because I have some at home.
It's Walgreens. I don't mind.
You really
it
held out on that one, Mark.
Like, I used to just buy posters and cut them up like with scissors and my tape and everything, but now these come in like just like this at Walgreens. So
guess what?
Yes.
They're also at CVS.
No, they're not. They're different. Those are different. It's a weaker, what do you call it, grade?
Material.
Yeah. What a stock, right? We should reference The Office here. It's a bad stock. Like the poster curls up a little bit. It doesn't feel right. So only Walgreens.
Yes, you are correct about that.
Yeah.
Paper supremacy.
On that sheet that Mark Brody has,
yes,
was probably the collective moment where we all held our breaths trying to figure out in that bottom of the sixth inning last night in the Cubs' win over Pittsburgh if Shota Imanaga was significantly hurt. Given what happened with Justin Steele, I definitely was glued to the screen, waiting, slightly breathing, trying to figure out if the Cubs were suffering yet another major injury to a starting pitcher.
It was an oh no moment, just like Justin Steele, which was more of a, oh no, because he actually was going to be out for the season. But it's obvious he's the second most important pitcher, second most important player on this team right now. Even with all of the offense the Cubs have had and the stars that they've had, like you're not going anywhere if Shota Imanaga goes down, unless you think that Jameis Taillon will continue to perform well, which he has.
I mean, if they continue to crush offensively, but at some point you do need pitchers who can pitch innings and multiples, as in get you 5, 6, 7 innings. And Shota, if you look up and down that rotation right now, is really the guy who has the best chance at doing that every time he takes the bump. Just look at the Cubs. They have a ridiculous record with Imanaga on the bump. And if you take him out of the equation in addition to Justin Steele, Who becomes your frontline starter or the relative frontline starter? I guess it's Boyd or Taillon. I mean, take your pick.
Didn't all of us think that in that moment when you're watching, and then you're watching Daniel Palencia throw warm-up pitches for what seemed like an hour?
It took a couple calls.
I mean, it took his time.
I mean, and I don't blame him for that. Take your time, Daniel Palencia. And he's done great so far. But, you know, there was a time where we were concerned about him as well. Maybe not an injury, but, you know, that bullpen circle of trust. But it got me thinking how fragile seasons are when you can withstand some things. And that's because you decided to up your offense in a way that is going to override a lot of issues. You did the right thing roster-wise to improve your team to be able to withstand it. But they're living on the edge when it comes to especially the pitching staff, perhaps having something like this happen. Even a setback, say you're on the 15-day IL. You know, how much could that hurt this team when it comes to trying to do what they're doing?
Well, I think the biggest thing when you talk about starting pitchers versus position players is your thought process immediately goes to season ending as opposed to they're going to the IL for a couple of weeks or a month. That's two very different things. I don't think when you see a player pull up lame as a runner or in the outfield or doing whatever, you're thinking he's going to be out for the season. Whereas with a pitcher, anything that happens, the first place my mind anyway goes to is, oh, what if he was out for the season? That would just be awful. That's a hole they can't afford. They don't know. How would they fill that spot? Especially since we know right now it's Colin Ray. It's not like they called up somebody else and Colin Ray is still the swing guy. You feel like you're at the end of your rope with Colin Ray, the swing guy, being in the rotation. Now you're saying, who's going to be the next guy up to fill a rotation spot?
According to my board, Colin Ray does have a 0.96 ERA right now. But
yes.
But that's maximum effort. You're getting this out of these guys, and you have to believe that eventually you're not going to get that out of. I mean, Boyd has been great, but do we trust that he is going to be that? And I know we'll get more into that later on. May I offer a potential solution? I am going to inject a name that's going to get everybody excited here.
Does it
inject.
Start with a C and end with aid?
Yes, it does. Wait, when end with
Kade,
an aid? With an aid. Hold on a second. Aid?
Start with a C and end with aid.
Oh, the first. I thought you meant the last name. Yes, it does. It does. Cade Horton. Cade, I don't have this on my board right now, but apparently Cade Horton.
He's now on your draft board?
No. Check this out. Check me out, Haw. He had his best game, apparently, at Iowa last night. I need the numbers. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I got your numbers.
I failed to put it on my board.
MILB.com,
but
baby.
But it's probably going to take a few more good starts. But let me just say, that was incredible to hear. I think it was Alex Cohen who brought it up last night during the broadcast, doing a great job there in Pittsburgh. Brought up, I was like, oh, Cade Horton, I hear you. I see you. So he was really good. Going to take a few more of those. But let's not forget how potentially exciting Cade Horton could be, Marshall.
Okay. You wanted the numbers.
Yes,
he
I
got
did.
The win.
Yes.
He went 6 innings.
Okay, I'm writing it on my board here.
He
six
gave
innings.
Up one earned run.
Uh-huh.
That was the only run he gave up.
Earned.
On 3 hits.
3 hits?
He only walked one.
Walked one.
He struck out 5.
Okay.
He threw
five.
77 pitches over those 6 innings.
Slow down. 77 pitches. There we go. Okay,
and 50 of those pitches were strikes.
Okay.
So, yeah. He had 5 ground ball outs, 10 fly ball outs, which, depending on how things are going at Wrigley any given day, that could play very well.
Okay.
Especially if you just throw strikes. Julian Merriweather.
Texter says
Merriweather's still in my circle of trust.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I know where you're going with the text line. I just replied to somebody, Grody, because 847 is like, they're living on the edge. There isn't a team in Major League Baseball where losing your top 2 starters wouldn't be a major issue.
You're playing a dangerous game.
Except there are teams that talk about using 6-man rotations. Except there are teams in baseball like the Dodgers where it's not catastrophic. It's a nuisance. Now, that's an extreme example when you talk about the Dodgers. But there are teams where this isn't as much of a problem. They do have deeper farm systems. They do have more depth when it comes to their bullpen and their starting pitching staffs. The Yankees lost Gerrit Cole, and look at them. They're 18-12 right now.
I just want to point out that Cade Horton, back to that portion of this discussion, because I think it's one, I think he's coming. It's just a matter of time. I think we can all agree on that. He's not given up more than a run all season long in any of his outings, and he's gone 3 1/3 to start, then he stretched out to 4, then he stretched out to 5 innings, then 4 2/3, and now 6. He looks like he's primed, and he's cut down his walks. He had 4 walks, 3 walks, 3 walks, then just 1 walk and 1 walk each of the last time out. Has struck out less than 5 batters no times this season.
A text here from the 815. Bruce Levine said the other day that Horton is not ready. Well, you tell Bruce Levine that last night Cade Horton had a great game. No, I trust Bruce Levine. I want more Bruce Levine on this show. But yeah, of course, I'm not saying because of that you call him up. I'm just saying we should, like, because Cade Horton went away for a while and now the interest is revived, and he could be, no matter what happens with Shota Imanaga at this point, because of Justin Steele, no matter what, they still need more support on this pitching staff by the time this season ends. If they are to be a serious playoff team that wins games the playoffs.
I think the other piece of this, though, is because starting pitching injuries have increased so much, especially since the beginning of the pitch clock era, that it is something you have to not only account for, but you have to almost take a worst-case scenario look at things whenever you're considering what the possible outcome is. Like, there's a reason we're talking about this in this vein. It's because we've all read the same stories. We've all seen the same injuries. We've all seen how that has hurt teams. Yeah, they're in a division, the Cubs, where, for example, it might not cost you the division or an attempt at the playoffs. But even, say, the Atlanta Braves and all the talent they had. And,
wow.
And, you know, they have a superstar go down, and that costs them an attempt at really a playoff berth.
One of their bites at the apple, if you will, with this group that they paid so handsomely.
Because they're in such a strong division in the East. So, you know, that piece of it, I think, factors in as well. The contrast to this is the standard bearers of the division for the last several years, the Brewers, are facing the White Sox, and then thusly the Cubs in the next series. So you're going to get a taste of that and a pressure check to know where you're at as well, as if the NL West wasn't enough.
I think the White Sox-Brewers thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was thinking as I was watching the White Sox take a 2-0 lead.
You were watching, huh?
Why are you saying it like that? Why does everyone clown me for watching the White
Sox?
No,
I'm not clowning you at all. I just think it's difficult when there's a Cubs game on to navigate to the White Sox. Like, I had a difficult time last night.
Yeah,
with that.
I definitely was focusing on the Cubs game.
I'll listen to the Cubs and watch the White Sox and then watch whatever I missed with the Cubs. You got that?
Did you hear hilarious Pat Hughes last night talking about Green Acres and
I heard all of it.
Haney!
Yes.
See, that's another indication that you know life is good. When Pat and Ron get to just wax poetic.
They were talking about all kinds of things last night. And I'm like, they do this every night. And they sound like they're having so much fun. It's a lot more fun talking about games that aren't close. Ron Coomer put it best. He was like, 4-0 lead. He's in a great spot. Let him go. Like, once a pitcher has a 4-0 lead, he can do whatever just throw strikes.
Just throw strikes. That's right. Right.
Well, we have more here. Break.
Sorry. That was just...
I know Ray says in our ear break, and
anything
then
that Ray
just
says
repeats it mindlessly. Yeah.